Welcome to our City Gate Atlanta podcast. We trust you will be blessed by these messages and invite you to join us anytime as we worship the Lord and seek to walk in the fullness of His purposes and destiny for our generation. Information about our gathering times and various ministries may be found at www.citygateatlanta.org.
So, as I've pondered, God, what do you want me to do tonight? And I was over a couple places. I told Sandra a couple of days ago, I have not a clue. I was in a bit of a funk because, you know, when you hit glory, sometimes the enemy comes in and throws mud all over you. Okay? So I had a couple of muddy days. And I'm not ashamed to tell you that because you have muddy days. And you need to know when you got a muddy day, you just have to go get under the waterfall of the glory of God until it gets washed off and do what you know to do, even if you don't feel like doing it. Because if you wait till you feel like it, you're going to stay in the mud puddle. And then it'll dry because some heat will come along, it'll cake on you, and then you're going to be a mess. Okay? So get yourself, do what you know to do. Even if you don't feel like it, even if you can't hear His voice, you can't feel His touch, you can't do anything, you just do what you need to do. Because it'll press you through. Because we all do it. And I'm just honest enough, I'm going to tell you. Because I want you to be able to break through and not stay in the mess that the devil tries to throw at you. Or just your own emotions. It's not always the devil. Can I just say that? It's not always the devil. Sometimes it's just your own stinking emotions that you need to get on top of. Talking to me there. So when Moses cried out, Lord, show us your glory. We talked about this last week. He had been on the mountaintop with God in the midst of the glory. And he comes and he goes, but you haven't said who's going to go with us. And if you don't go with us, I'm not going anywhere. Can I tell you, City Gate Atlanta, if God doesn't go with us, I'm not going anywhere. I'll just go home and play with my grandbaby. I mean, I'm real serious. But glory's captivated my heart. And I know He's going with us. When we have a night like tonight, and a night like last week, and a night like the week before, He's with us. And it's not because we're anything special. We are a people who've said, I give myself away. We are people who've just simply said, here am I, Lord, send me. We're people who simply said, yes, Lord, what do you want? We're people who've said, okay, so this doesn't look like church. Hallelujah. Can I just, I'm going to be real transparent for a moment, but I've had a couple of people, word has gotten to me, I'll say it this way. They haven't said it to me because they probably know better. But I've had a couple of people that have said to other people and word has gotten back to me, well, I think maybe City Gate's not the right place for me because it's not really a church. And I'm like, okay, so what, here's what I want to ask. What does that mean? What does that mean? Okay, and I'm not upset with them. I'm concerned. Because it's in the atmosphere. I'm just talking about in general. It's in the atmosphere as in general. So here's what I see about who we are to be as church. Carriers of glory. Carriers of glory. Moses went in and rescued a people out of captivity and brought them out to be carriers of glory. Right? They had the opportunity, the children of Israel had the opportunity to commune with glory themselves And it scared them, and they said, we'll just let Moses go do it. Can I just say this? Most of the church wants a Moses. Let me just tell you, I am not your Moses. Not going to be, don't want to be, not called to be. You have an invitation to the mountain of the Lord to give yourself away and encounter glory. Okay? God wanted the children of Israel to encounter glory and carry glory. He deposited glory over the tabernacle, and when he would lift glory, they knew to move. When he would settle glory, they knew to stop. I want us to be a people that so follow glory that in our gatherings, just like the way this service went, we followed where the cloud and the fire was going. When he dropped in my spirit, pray for Nepal, glory had deposited on a map over Nepal in my spirit. And I knew we had to go there. It didn't have to be for long, but we had to go there. We had to go and follow glory with Christine going back and singing that song again. Because that was a moment of deliverance for this young woman. And probably others, but I know for that one because I've been sitting on that word for her for 2 weeks, waiting for God to say when. But see, we just got to follow glory. Now, she may have some other things she'll need to do to work that into her so that the devil can come and pluck it out. I mean, I'm just giving y'all some basic. This is how we disciple and discipline ourselves. Because God deposits things and then the birds come along and try to pluck it away. But see, God is wanting us to be carriers of his kabod. The weightiness of his splendor, his majesty, his glory, his beauty, his splendor. That's who God is wanting us to be individually. And corporately, because when we come together and every joint is supplying and you've got glory pulsating through you and you've got it and you've got it, all of a sudden we got a glory bonfire going. And that's what he's wanting. See, I believe that if we get the fire of his glory going enough when we gather in a holiness and a purity, because let me tell you, glory cannot be apart from holiness and purity. And it is fueled by passion. But if you have passion without purity and holiness, then you can have a fire that damages rather than a fire that refines. Y'all, somebody got to take notes because I'm on a roll. It has nothing to do on my piece of paper. I love it. It's God. What can I say? See, the word kabod carries the concept of weightiness and heaviness. How many of you have experienced a weightiness and a heaviness over your emotions that's not kabod? I believe that is the devil's number one attack on believers because he's counterfeiting what God wants to release. Because you encounter glory and you get home and you're by yourself and all of a sudden this other, the mully grubs come over you, right? And he's just trying to give you a substitute. So you gotta, you're not coming on me. No, you don't. This is a vessel to carry glory. What are you doing around here? But see, you gotta know who you are. Vessels to carry glory. Remember 2 Chronicles 5? Solomon has built the temple. And if you back up a little bit prior to them coming to this place in 2 Chronicles 5, I think it's around verse 13. Prior to that, the Ark of the Covenant, the manifest glory, presence of God is in David's tabernacle on Mount Zion, right? And they worship because David had a new covenant revelation while living in the old covenant. He knew that by God's grace, they could go in and worship around the Ark of the Covenant without a veil. And somebody other than just the high priest could go in once a year. They could go in and they could just worship in the midst of the Shekinah glory. David had a revelation of what we would enter into through Christ. Isn't that amazing? And God allowed him to because he revealed it and said, now come on in, David. Worship with abandon. A number of years ago when I was looking at this passage, I said to a pastor friend, I said, so they were still under the law. They still had to offer their sacrifices. Where was the brazen altar? And he said, I don't know. Because it was an odd question, right? So I went, I kept doing research and studying, and it was in a place called Gibeah. And the priests that were at Gibeah continued to offer the sacrifices and the blood of the goats and the lambs and the birds and all the things that are prescribed in the law. They kept doing it in Gibeah. And over there in Mount Zion, David and the priests that were assigned to David were worshiping in glory. They were over here doing the law. And they were over here in the spirit. But when they came together in 2 Chronicles 5. And they brought the brazen altar. And they brought the Ark of the Covenant. And the priest came together without regard to division. In other words, not the I'm of the law people and I'm of the spirit people. But the law and the spirit came together without regard to division. The glory filled the house so much they could not stand to minister in his presence. Because the rock of God came. But see, it takes the word and it takes the spirit. It takes the both and. God is looking for a people who will honor his word and who will honor his Holy Spirit. When we honor his word and we honor his spirit, then he brings it together and there is a fire of his Shekinah glory that is birthed in us and through us and upon us. See, that's what happened at Pentecost. They came together praying, following the word of Yeshua, right? They were men and women of the word. He said, come on, people of the word. You pray and you wait with me. You tarry. I'm going to bring in the Ark of the Covenant. Because Jesus as the Ark of the Covenant, can we use that as an analogy right now? Jesus as the Ark walked with them. Holy Spirit as the Ark came and dwelled in them. So when in Corinthians it says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? I said this last week, but that word for temple there refers to the Holy of Holies, not the entire temple. It's the Holy of Holies. Let that get into you for a minute. You are carrier of the Holy of Holies. What was in the Holy of Holies? The Ark of the Covenant. You are in covenant with the living God of all the universe. His Shekinah glory, his manifest presence, rest in you upon that covenant. You're carrier of glory. Remember Jesus said, who puts their candle under a bushel? We need to start living. This is the light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Do we not? It's a great little song, but we need to not sing it as a ditty. We need to say, God, I'm putting my little light up on a, I'm going to let it shine. Pump it up and let it shine some more. I don't want to be this little bitty flickery thing. I want it to be burning like a bonfire. You know, we need the burning bonfire of the glory of God. One of the saddest passages of Scripture for me is Ezekiel 10. And I remember when I first got filled with the Holy Spirit, and I think I've told y'all this, but I camped out in the book of Ezekiel. I had a pastor who called me Ezekiela because I just lived in Ezekiel. So, you know, I'm a bit of an Ezekiel-type prophet in a way because I just, it's so in me. That watchman anointing that if I see somebody in sin, that watchman says, if I see you in sin and I don't warn you so that you have an opportunity to come out of it, then your blood's on my hand if you die. I love you, but not that much. Okay? But here's the deal. The real heart of that watchman is, if I see you there, I don't want you to die in your sin. I want you to come out. Because if God's revealing it, there's a pathway for you to come out of your sin so that you can live victorious. Because that's his portion for all of us. So I've got that watchman. It gets me in all kinds of trouble because it's so in me that I just can't let things go. I'll pray it through, but I'm also going to come talk to you. Just telling you. I got enough of the fear of God in me. I'll come talk to you. I mean, that's the real deal. Because I'm not nearly as afraid of you as I am him. But in Ezekiel 10, verses 18 and 19, it says, then the glory of the Lord departed from the threshold of the temple and stood over the cherubim. When the cherubim departed, they lifted their wings and rose from the earth in my sight with the wheels beside them. And they stood still at the entrance of the east gate of the Lord's house. And the glory of the God of Israel hovered over them. The glory departed. The abominations and the sin and the idolatry got to such a point that glory departed from the temple of the Lord. If you look at the story of Eli, and that's when the tangible Ark of the Covenant was captured and taken away, and his daughter-in-law gave birth to a child and named him Ichabod because the glory had departed. Can I propose to you that we have, not in totality, but in many ways in the American church, lived in a condition of Ichabod? In the midst of that, just like there was in all these times, there's always a remnant. There's always a place. There's always a people. There's always those that are crying out for the glory to be returned. Ezekiel was one who cried out for glory to be returned. We are a people crying out for glory to be returned. See, we've had some glorious times, but we haven't had glory returned yet. We've had little kisses of glory. Because when glory returns, eye is not seen, ear is not heard. Neither is entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who seek him. But he has revealed it to us by his Holy Spirit. See, I've got a glimpse, just a little glimpse. I believe you've got a glimpse of what it's going to look like when glory returns to the house. See, I don't believe that when glory returns to the house, that the little needling junk that holds us captive, this will be good news for Pat and Winston. The little needling junk that holds us captive, when glory shows up, it won't be able to hold us anymore. See, when glory shows up, Lord, do I say that? When glory shows up, if you stay in your rebellion and you lie to Holy Spirit, you end up with Ananias and Sapphira. I don't want to see Ananias and Sapphira. I want to see a company of people like Peter and James and John and Paul who were walking across the land so filled with the glory and the passion and the love of Christ that you go out and you can't help but share Jesus. You can't help but just let glory ooze out of you because it's a mighty rushing river, because out of you flow what? Rivers of living water. That's glory, folks. That's glory. That's glory. You can't contain rivers of living water. We've got trickles of living water. But it's mounting. If you go to Ezekiel 43, leave y'all on good. Yeah. Then he led me by the gate. I'm reading verses 1 through 5. The gate facing toward the east. And behold, the glory of God, of the God of Israel, was coming from the way of the east. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. And the earth shone with his glory. And it was like the appearance of the vision which I saw, like the vision which I saw when he came to destroy the city. And the visions were like the visions I saw by the river Kabar, and I fell on my face. And the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate facing toward the east. And the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. See, I believe we're beginning to see the glory approaching. That's where I believe we are. It's getting closer and closer. We're having encounters with glory. But he's coming all the way in. Ezekiel 44, 4 through 8. Then he brought me by the way of the north gate to the front of the house. And behold, I looked. And the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. And I fell on my face. Seems to be a response to glory, doesn't it? The Lord said to me, Son of man, mark well, see with your eyes and hear with your ears all that I say to you concerning the statutes of the house with all exits of the sanctuary. You shall say to the rebellious ones, to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, enough of all of your abominations, O house of Israel. When you brought in foreigners, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh, to be in my sanctuary, to profane it, even my house, when you offered my food, the fat and the blood, for they made my covenant void. This in addition to all your abominations, and they have not kept charge of my holy things yourselves, and you have set foreigners to keep charge of my sanctuary. When glory comes into the house, those that are profaning the house will be exposed. I heard this as I was reading that passage. We're crying out for glory to come and awaken the church in the United States of America. Right now we're seeing abominations, horrific things. When glory comes in, there's going to be those of us that are going to be called into a place. Will you cast them out of the temple? Because it's going to be exposed. See, when glory comes in, there's going to be the explosion of grace and glory among those who say, yes, Lord. There's going to also be an explosion of grace and glory upon those who say no. It's going to look far different. I had not thought that before coming in here tonight, but I'm telling you, we've got to understand what it is we're crying out for. If you keep reading in Ezekiel 44, and I've taught this here before, but it's been a while, there are those that continue to profane and do their own thing. God's going to allow them to keep doing some work, and it's going to appear like church. Y'all following me? They're allowed to do the work, but they cannot come near His presence. I don't want to be a part of that company. I don't want us to be a part of that company. I want us to be a part of the company that when everybody else around us goes astray, we say, no, my God, I seek Your face and I will follow Your ways and I will not turn to the side. It doesn't matter what the screaming is on the left and the right, what the threats are of the government, what the threats are of this or that or the other. I will not turn aside from walking in the way that You've set in front of me. By Your word, I will be true, and by Your word, I will stand, and by Your spirit, we will be those that seek Your face and do not go astray, even when others around us go astray. I will tell you, that is the plumb line that's being dropped in this country right now. See, I want to prepare us to be carriers of the increase of His glory. Because we've got to be carriers that it's not just passion, but it's passion, purity, and power. And He will not share His glory with those who want to profane it or want to claim it for their own. Haggai 2:9 says, "The latter glory of this house will be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace." See, I believe we're coming into a latter house glory. See, the early church had a glory, had an incredible glory. I mean, you go look at the first century church. I mean, that's a pretty amazing glory. But if you take this passage prophetically, what does it say? The latter is going to be greater than the former. I'm ready for some of the greater. The world right now needs the greater. See, somebody... I've heard people say, well, they needed all the signs and the wonders and the miracles in the early church because it wasn't established yet. Be still my heart. Take a look around. I mean, seriously, not literally around us, but look. Look at the community around us. The debauchery, the deception, the delusion, the confusion, strong delusion. Who more needs the manifestation of increased glory? See, we as the church need to be in such a place everywhere across this nation and the nations of the world so that when this kind of junk comes out, we're so moving in love that we're not condemning, but we are speaking truth and we are walking in the measure of the power that'll set somebody free. Because see, it does us no good to point a finger if we don't have the power of God living in us to set Him free. See, I don't want us to be a people who are known for what we're against. I want us to be known as a people who know who we're for and who is for us, that is filled with the glory of God, the power of God to set captives free. That's what I read in the good book. I fully believe that in this nation right now we're being treated as the tail. But God says, you're not the tail, you're the head. But we got to believe it. Zechariah 2, 1 through 5. And I'm going to read this out of the Voice. And y'all probably be hearing a lot out of Zechariah 1 and 2 for me for a while because God's wrecking me out of Zechariah right now. It says that, Zechariah says, that night I had a third vision. I looked up and I saw a man with a measuring line in his hand. And Zechariah says, where are you going with that? And the surveyor says, I am going to measure the city of Jerusalem to find out how wide and how long it is so that a wall may be built around it. A third vision looks forward to a time of restoration. This is kind of an apostrophe here, if you will. The third vision looks toward a time of restoration and the coming of God's anointed one that brings things that will be set right. Verse 3. Then the heavenly messenger who had been answering my questions since my first vision left my side, and a second messenger came and met him. And the second messenger says, go quickly and tell that young surveyor with the measuring line, Jerusalem will be a city without walls because of the vast number of people and all their domesticated animals living in it. For the Eternal One says, instead of a wall of stone, I will be a wall of fire protecting her all around, and I will be the shining glory within her. I want you to hear it this way. Go quickly and tell that young surveyor that with the measuring line, Atlanta will be a city without walls because of the vast number of people and all their domesticated animals living in it. For the Eternal One says, instead of a wall of stone, I will be a wall of fire protecting Atlanta all around. And I will be the shining glory within her. I know that I know that I know. That is God's word over the city. See, glory is returning to this city. Honestly, my lifelong pursuit, for as long as I can remember, has been the pursuit for the return of glory to the church. See, for glory to return to the church, glory has to be revealed. Because you don't know you need glory till glory's revealed. It's like if you've never tasted a really good pound cake and somebody says, come have a piece of pound cake, you're like, what is that if you haven't had one? But once you've had one, you know, okay? Well, I've tasted glory. And when you've tasted glory, nothing else will do. Never, ever the same. Ever. See, God revealed his glory to Moses at the burning bush. He revealed his glory when he encountered Pharaoh. When he crossed the Red Sea, when he was on top of the mountain in the cleft of the rock, in the tent of meeting and upon the tabernacle, and on and on and on again, Moses encountered glory. When he was in the side of the rock and he says, God, show me your glory. What'd God say? He says, come hide right here in the cleft of the rock next to me. And I'm gonna cover you. And as I walk by, you can get a glimpse. You can't look at my face. I will cause my goodness and my mercy to pass before you. See, when God's glory shows up, his goodness and his mercy shows up. His goodness is that which is pleasant, joyful. I mean, tonight, that was God's goodness showing up. I mean, to see Rick Heath up here dancing, that's the goodness of the Lord. I'm just telling you. I can say it because he ain't in the room right now. It's okay. It's all good. His mercy is that place where he shows favor and pity. He shows us consideration. See, I believe God's mercy showed up tonight. His goodness showed up, his joy and all of that showed up, but his mercy showed up because he says, I'm showing you consideration because you set your face to seek me tonight, and I'm going to extend mercy to you. I'm responding to you. See, God's compassion, His mercy, is His love. It's His love that never ends. It's His love that covers a multitude of sin. It's His love that casts out fear. See, when you encounter the glory and His love goes, settles in on you, whatever was tripping you up, well, what was that all about? Now, I'm not making light of that stuff that wrestles with us. But what gets us out of that is an encounter with the amazing love of God. Because once you encounter His love, which is His glory, because His glory is Him and He is love, then everything else pales in comparison. It doesn't even matter. Because light dispels darkness. Love casts out fear. His glory is revealed. His glory was revealed in Jesus at His birth. Now talk about a revealing party. Hallelujah. I mean, all the angels in the heavens sang. It was a glorious night. The heavens became ablaze with the glorious angelic host of the Lord, announcing the birth of glory revealed in the earth. But glory was revealed when Jesus went into the temple as a 12-year-old, and they couldn't figure out, how does this young boy know so much? That was glory being revealed. What about glory revealed at His baptism? Heavens open and a dove comes descending in the voice of heaven. This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. That's glory. It caused some people to shake. Even glory when He was healing and discipling and teaching, telling parables, was glory. Because He was revealing Himself. Glory revealed when He was facing sinners and persecutors. Think about that one when next time you're getting persecuted. How did Jesus respond? It did not shake Him, did it? He just stayed. Oh, so that's what you say. Okay. I need to take that lesson in a little deeper in me. I mean, I don't do well with that. I don't like it when people talk ugly to me or about me. I don't. God, give me a new measure of glory. I get lots of practice. What about when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane? There was a revealing of glory. His trial before all of the high ups. What about His crucifixion? And definitely as His resurrection and ascension, glory breaks out all over the place. Glory is revealed in the Messiah. Glory is revealed to us, in us, and through us. Take down these passages. Romans 8:18. And remember this, the glory that is coming will be revealed in us. Now, I know a lot of people have taken that passage and they've put it off into the after we die and Jesus returns. Can I just say to you, now, as He is revealed, glory is revealed in you. Next passage, Colossians 3:4. On that day when the Anointed One, who is our very life, is revealed, you will be revealed with Him in glory. Now, I know there again, there's that ultimate. But as He is revealed now, you're revealed in glory. 2 Corinthians 3:18. As we behold, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, we're being transformed into the very same image. What? From glory to glory. Whatever measure of glory you have today that's transforming you to look like Him, it's nothing compared to what you should have tomorrow. and the next day and the next day. See, having a quiet time isn't about checking off a religious box. It's about beholding glory. It's about beholding the Lord in the beauty of who He is, so He changes us from glory to glory. But then we have to go from glory revealed to glory realized. And we'll give you a definition on realize. To realize something is to become fully aware, to understand clearly, to cause something desired or anticipated to happen, to give actual or physical form to. Are you getting that? See, glory can be revealed here, but He wants it realized so that it's real here. So that we're walking in glory. We're not just looking at glory from afar off, but glory's going to Elberton and Royston. Glory's going with you up 85. Glory realized. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet appeared as what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him because we will see Him just as He is. See, the more we behold Him, the more we're going to look just like He is. And then the world around us is going to see Jesus because they looked at us. The more we gaze upon the glory of the Lord and allow Him to change us, the more the glory will be realized in the earth. See, that's the key to the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Because the glory's there. Y'all looking at me like, what? No, the glory is there. The word says the glory of the Lord covers the earth as the waters cover the sea. But Habakkuk says the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. See, to have it revealed, to have it realized, like I can have something revealed to me. Somebody can show me a picture of something and I can go, well, yeah, especially, I mean, do y'all ever see stuff revealed on Facebook? And you're like, well, is that real or not? But when you realize it's real, it's different. It takes a different place in you. Okay? So it's the moving from a concept into a reality. Glory revealed. Glory realized. Glory realizes when we come into a greater understanding and belief that God intends us to be as His sons and daughters, not just when we die. What is it He intends you to be now? Like Him, filled with grace and glory, moving and doing the very same things that He did and greater. That's what He said. What the word says. Glory realized is people, you and me, being transformed by the renewing of our minds, thinking, believing, and acting according to God's divine purposes. Glory realized is evidenced by the character of Christ becoming more and more real in us. See, sometimes we can get to thinking about glory and we can think it's just about the manifestations or the evidence of signs and wonders and miracles, and we're all for that. Or some flash. But glory really is about the very character of Christ being made real in us. Which leads us, once glory is revealed and glory is realized, then glory begins to be manifested. See, I want glory manifested in us. Biblically and out of Judaism, what is glory is the manifested presence of the Lord. When they refer to glory, they're referring to God making Himself known and real in the moment. The manifested character, nature, and attribute of the Lord, full of splendor and majesty, brilliant in purity, passion, and power. It is the manifested reality of God's presence. It's not just goosebumps. It's a changed life. Shekinah, we hear that phrase a lot. It's actually a word that's not in Scripture, but it comes out of Jewish teachings, from the earliest rabbinical teachings. And it refers to the glory of God that rested on the Mishkan, which was the tabernacle, God's sacred dwelling place. The word carries the concept and in its root word of being dwelling among. The Shekinah coming and dwelling, the glory coming and dwelling among us, tabernacling with us. I don't want a visitation. I want a habitation. I want Him to so be at home in my life, in your life, in our lives, that He comes and just comes and this is His house. I mean, for goodness sakes, that He feels at home in His home. Have you ever been in a home you didn't feel home at? We want Him to feel at home here. In Christ, we see the visible manifestation of God Himself in the second person of the Trinity. In the church, He is wanting to manifest Himself unhindered and unrestricted. What would happen in Metro Atlanta if we lived in glory? What would happen to the people who live around us? I had a telephone call Thursday afternoon, I think it was, from a neighbor. I don't know her. We got a new directory in the neighborhood, and so she's going down because she was doing a trunk show for some clothing line that she sells. And she starts talking to me about inviting me to come see her clothes. And I said, you know what, I'd really love to do it because it's a good line of clothes from what I understand. And I said, but I'm preparing to go overseas, and I've just got like more on my plate than I can do. She goes, what are you going overseas for? And I said, well, I'm actually going on a ministry trip. She goes, really? I said, yeah. She goes, what are you going to do? What do you do? And I said, well, I lead a church. And you know what? I still find myself kind of doing a... And so the Lord and I are dealing with that. I'm getting over it. And she goes, and we talked for a few minutes, and she goes, I'd really like to sit down and talk to you. She said that you were bold enough to tell me what you're doing and where you're going and be that. And it wasn't bold. It was just chit-chat. You understand what I'm saying? But she said, I can tell that's very real for you. So I said, I tell you what, I get back on the 11th. I said, give me at least till the 13th. And my son's coming in town, so maybe on the 18th. I said, but I want you to do this for me. I want you to write on your calendar on the 18th that week to call me. Write my phone number in there, put it on your calendar and call me. I don't know what that's about. But she said, here's what she said to me. She goes, I press in and I do really good and then I backslide and then I come and then I backslide and I want out of that cycle. See, that's nothing I've done. She picked up the phone, called me. I couldn't even tell you what her first name is, and that's embarrassing. Because, you know, when you first pick up a phone and somebody says, this is so-and-so, you know, doesn't always register because I was working on something else. I'm a multitasker, which is not always good. But see, it's the glory drawing. Watch for those, because as glory increases, as glory manifests in you, it's going to woo people. Because here's what glory does. Glory releases the tangible presence of the Lord. Reveals His love, changes atmospheres, If you got some places the atmospheres need to change, it draws people together to worship over a territory. I believe that when the glory increases, people are going to drive down the road and turn in to houses of worship and go, I don't know why I'm here. I just needed to come. That's what's going to happen. It woos people to himself. It convicts of sin. See, we got to be prepared that when glory is showing up. See, what happened on that phone call is it convicted her of sin. Because she confessed her sin to me right there. Instantly. See, it was sudden, unanticipated. And here's a warning for all the rest of us. It was an interruption to my day. I mean, I had a list and I had to just go, oh, wait a minute. I hear the sound of glory. I feel the breath of God on this. Let's just shut it down. Focus. You got to talk to yourself sometimes. The tangible presence of the Lord over a territory will release holiness and a sense of the fear of the Lord over all the people. That's what happened in Wales when they went through in the 1904, 1905 Welsh revival. Glory permeated a nation and drew people to the Lord. There's a healing of the land, of people, and of even culture. Consider that when Jesus came into a city, it changed everything around him. At his birth, the shepherds came out of their field to go worship. At his baptism, they all heard the voice. At his crucifixion, because for a moment, glory was removed. The sky was dark, the earth shook, and terror hit. But at his resurrection, graves opened. Graves opened. I mean, let that one sink in. I mean, you know, at Pentecost, glory came in, and everybody that was gathered encountered what happened. It wasn't hidden. What was in an upper room, private and quiet, all of a sudden everybody knew. Because let me tell you something, they were hiding. But when the flames of fire came and the celebration came and the glory came, everybody out in the courtyard knew, and it was thousands. See, sometimes I feel like we're in an upper room kind of hiding. I mean, isn't that what it feels like? We're kind of hiding. We're in our little caves. We're in our little places. And we're afraid that somebody with a boogeyman might come in. Come in and encounter glory and get set free. When glory showed up, many were saved. Healings were common, even by the shadow of the glory. That 120 turned the world upside down. They would walk into a place, aren't you the Galileans? Uneducated? You don't know anything? But I perceive that they have been with Jesus. I want people to perceive we've been with Jesus. Ephesus was turned from the headquarters of Diana worship to one of the premier churches of the first century. What about Patrick of Ireland? Turned a nation upside down. Not just a nation, but sent missionaries out and went all across Great Britain. On Iona, Columba was there, and King of Norway is buried there because it was a place of retreat for him. Took the gospel to Norway, all the way across the Western Europe. What about the reformers that brought us out of the Dark Ages? What about the First Great Awakening, the Second Great Awakening, the healing revivals, the charismatic renewal, even the prophetic awakening that's happened over the last 30 or 40 years and the Apostolic Reformation? But all of that has been in preparation for the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit the world has ever known, to awaken a world, and God has ordained that we live right now. Which means it makes a lot of people look at us and think we're a little, like, not normal. And we're not. Hallelujah. See, we're just early adapters. We're just early. Hi, I'm a pioneer, and y'all are just early adapters. But see, I'm so hungry. I know that part of what my hunger is, it's been a lifetime. I know it's fueled because everybody in here is hungry. For me personally, it's being fueled because I'm stepping on the land this week. Every revival that has hit the world since then, I mean, I don't even know for how long, has its roots in Wales. And I know that God's sending me. I'm not going because I want to go. I do want to go, but it's because he marked me. And I know that when I go and pick up what it is he has for me to pick up, you share in every bit of it. My family goes back to Wales. I've tracked them all the way back into like 800. So we're talking at least that far back. But for us, as a house that's called to be a glory gate for the city, to perhaps be some measure of a Moriah. I mean, I heard that today. The Lord said, you're going to step foot in Moriah. It's where the awakening broke out. And I believe there's going to be many. I believe there's just going to be Moriahs all over the place. Because what he did in 1904, or what he did in 1906 in Azusa, and what he did in these other places where he burst out in a place, in a place, in a place, I believe, you know, because that would just be one here, and then a few years later there'd be one over here. I believe there's going to be such an ignition of his glory across the earth, because there are people like us all over the place. We just don't see each other yet. But we will. So all I'm saying, folks, is get yourself prepared to receive an increase of glory. That whatever measure of glory you currently have, Lord, expand. Expand my capacity. If I can hold a quart of glory today, I want to hold a gallon by next week. If I have got a hot tub in the backyard that I can go swim in that measure of glory, I want an Olympic-sized pool. Okay, I'm saying expect increase. It's the deep calling to deep. Anybody ready for glory? Revealed, realized, and manifested. I want you to go into this week expecting to have a manifestation of glory through your life somewhere. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Because see, every obedience opens up the next level. every obedience opens up the next level.